We have been studying, and the messages have been along a little on the theme of we are being called to follow Christ. And so we want to take just a little subset of that this afternoon and just like to stir up our minds and look into a few scriptures. We are called to follow Christ, but the Lord has given us people in our lives to be examples to us. And sometimes people can get confused about how much do we listen to people in our life, and some people begin to get an independent attitude as I'm going to get it all from God for myself, and they're not willing to listen to counsel or advice from other people. And then others are so reliant upon people that they fail to establish a personal relationship with God and get divine revelation. And so there is a balance in that. So if you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the first verse, Paul was speaking here and he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, people that want to take exception to that could say, well, Paul said, be followers of me, and we're not supposed to follow man. But the second part of that was he said, follow me even as I follow Christ. And so if Paul were to stop following Christ, he would no longer be setting an example that we should follow. There are other texts, other versions of the Bible that bring out that it uses the word instead of follow, it uses the word imitate. So that the American Revised Version or Standard Version, as well as many other versions, say, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. So imitate me. And I will personally say I am so thankful for people that have been in my life that I was able to look at as a pattern of which to follow. And I saw God's blessing on their life. I saw their love for God. I saw their sacrifice for the Lord, and it set an example for me that I could see with my eyes, that I could see how they served the Lord and saw God's blessing, and it helped me and it helped shape my life. Ultimately, the glory did not go to those people, but they showed me an example that I could follow that and imitate them as a purpose of a way that I could get closer to Christ myself. And so we don't exalt and lift up the Pauls of our life. We don't, but we honor and appreciate our mothers and fathers in Israel, but it is only as they follow Christ that is credence to their pattern to follow. To imitate by definition means to follow as a pattern, model, or example. So Paul was saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me. And the question is, who are we imitating? Now, some people say, I don't imitate anybody. I'm my own man. I'm my own person. But in reality, we are all followers of something. We are listening to someone. Ask the question different times. Who are you listening to? When you have questions spiritually, who are you going to for counsel? I'm not going to anybody. I'm getting it all from God myself. We will miss out. You see, the Lord says He placed the members in the body. And the Scripture says that He gave prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors for what reason? Yeah, for the edifying of the saints, that we could come into the measure of Christ Himself, which meant that the Lord's plan included people. And there are people, and Lord help us, I will say as Americans, we tend to be independent people to start with, more than some countries. And some families are more independent than others. But the Scripture said, I gave you apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors for the purpose of looking after your soul. Which means if we are not open to counsel and guidance, we say, I'm getting it from God, and God's sitting back saying, I gave you a pastor. you're not using them because you're saying, I can get it from God for myself. They're just a person. But when God gives you a pastor, when God sends an evangelist, when God has placed the ministry in the body of Christ for the purpose of helping us know how to access the grace of Christ. Okay? How to access, to follow them as they follow Christ. So imitate them. Now, who do we imitate? Some of you have heard me share, and Renee helped me, it was either Zachary or Ethan. And when we lived in Edmond, and when I had seizures, did I share this the other day or not? It was Ethan. He was 2 years old or one to two years old. And he would walk along in the living room, and all of a sudden he would just fall on the floor. He would let his leg go out from under him, and he would just fall on the floor. He was imitating his father. Because my leg was, it was in a place where I was having a lot of difficulty. And then one day, we heard him, we watched him and heard him doing something in his room. We watched him go into his room and we heard something. So Renee White walked in there and peered in, and he was laying on the bed acting like he was having a seizure. And it was all obviously, he was just sitting there just, you know, jerking and we thought it was funny. But it's like, where did he get that? He was imitating what he had seen me do. Now, I will say as parents, sometimes it seems like our children are more quick to pick up on our negative traits. And we're thinking, why aren't all of these wonderful traits that we all have as parents, why aren't our children getting those? Maybe we're just a little more attuned to some of the negative traits. You understand? But the reality is our children follow our example. All of us are products of our environment to an extent. And it's one of the reasons you young people, and don't be offended, or this is just one little piece of the puzzle. When you're looking for a companion, it pays to look at that person's parents. Because a lot of us have attributes like our parents. Whether everybody likes to acknowledge it or not, the environment that someone has grown up in has a lot to do with the environment that they are going to create when they make a home. And that is not always true across the board, see? My father came from a broken home. My father did, and I couldn't have asked. I had a wonderful father. And I had a father that loved us and cared for us and was faithful and responsible and all of those things. So if someone would have looked and said, you came from a broken home and there wasn't stability there so I don't want to do that. So there are exceptions to this. But it is also true that more often than not, I can look at you young people right here. I can look at you and I can see attributes of your parents in you. So if I want to know what is this person going to be like, if I maybe don't know someone as well, I can look at their parents and say, they probably have some of these characteristics. If mom and dad aren't getting along, or mom and dad don't know how to deal with conflict well, you can say there's a very good likelihood that maybe the child won't know how to deal with conflict very well. If you see someone not diligent to be in service, maybe the child is different, but it's more often than not you will find that person thinking it's not that important to be at service because mom, they didn't grow up being in service. Now, these things can change, and this covers lots of different areas. This is one little thing to consider. So you young people and children would be wise when you start, look, kind of have your eye out. You look beyond the person and see the attributes that come from that family, because all of us are products of our environment. Now, thank God, because of His grace, we can rise above. We can rise above maybe certain aspects of our past. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God's grace does for all of us. But the point I'm making is there is great power in example. And so Paul was saying, I want you to imitate me. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ, so you can see a living example of what it means to serve the Lord. And Psalms 37, verse 37, he gave us instruction. He said, mark who? The perfect man. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. In other words, take notice. Take notice of that person. Don't be oblivious. Don't be oblivious to people around you. But he said, mark the perfect man. In other words, perfect does not mean that they didn't have human weaknesses. But it meant those that were sold out for God. Those that have given their life to the cause of God, and you know that their desire is to follow Jesus, watch how they live. And take note of it. And again, I know I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but it's like my grandpa said, he said, if you see me do it, it's all right to do it. Isn't that a pretty good testimony? I say mark someone like that. If you hear someone that says, well, I know I do this, but you probably shouldn't do it, and you see that all through their life, I would mark them, but not as an example to follow. I would mark them as someone that I want to understand their end, you know, their belly is going to be their destruction. In other words, they're doing things, consuming it on their lust and their opinions and their ideas, and I don't see that close relationship with the Lord. So mark the perfect man. Take note of the perfect man. 1 Corinthians 4:16, very familiar as well, very similar. Paul said, wherefore I beseech you. In other words, he was entreating them. He said, I beseech you, be followers of me. You think, well, what would you all think if I said, follow me? Follow me. What Paul was saying was, imitate my walk with God. Be diligent, be faithful, be consistent. Follow my example. Another passage of Scripture. And before we go on, when he said, be followers of me, listen, and this is what one of the commentators brought out here, he said, copy my example and listen to my admonitions. You like to listen to admonition? Anybody? Anybody just really like to be admonished? Do you know what happens in our society? Do you know where I'm seeing we have come? And it's not just out in the world, it's in the church. Okay? It's in the church. People do not want to be admonished very well, very much. Because the defense mechanism is, who do you think you are? And they can point out, well, who do you think you are? You have this fault. Yes, I have faults. Yes, the ministry has faults. But do you know who God put as a shepherd over our souls? He put the ministry. So if we get defensive, when we are admonished, I really believe, and I'm speaking from the heart here, folks, I believe, and I'm speaking as a general body, I'm not throwing any stones at anybody here, I believe we need to do better to receive admonishment a little bit better. I could tell you some stories about how people have received something they thought was admonishment, and it wasn't admonishment. They took it as admonishment because they're guilty conscience, and I can tell you some stories that would make your toes curl at how people have responded to the ministry at times. God wants us to have a heart that's open to recognize who gave us a pastor. Was it God? If it wasn't God, you need to tell your pastor, you know what, the Lord's not in this. That we don't believe the Lord's in it. But as long as you recognize this is a minister from the Lord, God has given them part of the responsibility was to care and to shepherd, to teach, to instruct, and admonishment is a little part of that. And if that's not received, we are going to be the ones that lack from that. So he gave us teachers and pastors, evangelists. He gave us those in the body for this purpose, that we would have someone to listen and watch and learn from, that it might be edifying. But to be edified by counsel, you have to have a desire to listen, don't you? Have you ever had someone tell you how to do something, and you were just wanting to shut them out, and hopefully they'd hurry up and be quiet so you could get on and do it the way you wanted to do it? We've probably all been guilty of that. It's like, this is the way I'm going to do it. And someone says, well, I've done that before. And they try to start showing. It's like, I'm ready to just go do it. It's good for us to learn from our mistakes, right? But do you know it's better to learn from other people's mistakes? It's better for us to learn from other people's mistakes. So when someone has been through something Maybe if they did it good, I want to learn from that. Follow me as I follow Christ. Or if someone has been through it and they came out not real well, I want to listen to them so I can learn from their mistake and I can avoid a problem. So children and young people, sometimes when your parents and your teachers and the ministry challenges you with something or gives instruction, understand we are wise to pay attention and listen, and we can avoid some mistakes. We can avoid some heartache sometimes, but we're going to have a desire to listen. I visited with someone just this couple days ago, and it was someone that has been in a lot of business, some very responsible places. We were talking, told me, said he was offering his services to someone, and that I was going to pass along their information. And he said, young people today, he said a lot of times, they don't want to ask advice. They don't want to ask. And some people ask advice and they don't want to hear what's given. But he said, when we were younger, he said, we would ask the older ones, hey, what about this? You know, what do I do here? He said, I was wanting to learn because I was wanting to advance in his career with business. So today, people that are in business, young people, it pays to ask people that have been there. Say, what things did you do that made your business success? Or what things did you do that caused that business to fail? You know, what's your advice to me? My father asked, and Lord help us as parents, my father asked someone one time, he said, when we were younger, he said, what advice would you give me as a parent for my children? And this was someone who marriage had broken up, someone that used to labor among the saints. And his marriage was broken up, and he told my dad, he said, don't push your children in who they're to marry. In other words, there's a place young people receive counsel and advice from your parents. But as parents, for us, he said, don't be a matchmaker, in other words. Don't try to push them together, because you're not the one that's going to have to end up living with them. Well, that was counsel. That was advice. I would say on this note, young people, be willing to receive some counsel. When you kind of have some interest out, you seek counsel and advice, because there are things sometimes that people can see that maybe you just can't see. And it'll save you some heartache sometimes. So we need to be willing to listen and seek counsel. And that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He also said in the book of Philippians, in the third chapter, in the 17th verse, he said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And he said, now many walk, and I've told you often how even weeping that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, their God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and they mind earthly things. In other words, we say, follow me as I follow Christ. He's also saying, mark people that are deviating from the path of Christ. And I would just, again, caution, there are those that have set, right? I think one of the greatest dangers is not from the false prophet in the Jehovah Witness Church down the road. Okay? We say, okay, well, we know some of their beliefs. We're not going to give them an inroad. The greatest danger lies among people that we know, people that have been among us for years, who deviate from the truth, and we see them deviating, and that appeals to something in our flesh, because I want to do those things too and still say I'm saved. And we start listening to something, and you know, a rock under dripping faucet gets a hole in it. All right? So who are you listening to? Are you seeing the virtue of Christ coming out of someone, or do you see them straying? So he said, mark them as well. Don't be quick, and this is a little challenge for us this afternoon, don't be quick to throw out the pattern of good works that you all have been taught. We are living in a time, and it's not just with the young people, I'm not picking on anybody here, but we are living in a time, it seems like, people are so quick to run people in the church down and are so quick to say, that doesn't matter and this doesn't matter. those of us that have been around a little longer have seen the consequences of people that have done that. So you young people would be well served in some of these gray areas. Some of these gray areas that aren't black and white sin, but these areas of carefulness, you would do well spiritually to follow after the example of those that have set a careful lifestyle before you. Because when we start opening up our life to the things of the world, you will find it will draw you deeper and deeper in. So let's be willing to not be quick. Let's not be too quick to throw things out. And the scripture that says, work out your own salvation, he said with fear and trembling, that's where some said, well, I'm working out my own salvation. That was not to the exclusion of other things that God placed in our life to help us. Follow me even as I follow Christ. You can work out your own salvation, but God also put people in our lives to help us as we work out our salvation. We won't take the time to read it, but remember the passage in the third chapter, 1 Corinthians, where Paul said, you know, some say they're of Paul, and some of Apollos, and some of Christ, and there was strife and division. In other words, and I have seen, and this is the power of example, I've seen it in ministers. I've seen Sunday school teachers and their pastor almost start sounding alike. Not to scare you, Justin, or anything. But because it's the example, it's what you hear, and I've seen it go both ways. It goes both ways because what you're around, it has an influence. And that can be a very positive thing. That is one of the reasons why we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we have enough influences out in the world. We need to come together and admonish and encourage and strengthen one another that we hear this truth. I trust that all of you, and again, this wasn't just for the young people, but when you come to service, I hope nothing I preach or teach is new to you. It was challenging me when I was encouraged. A mother came to me years ago and she appreciated the message and she said, they've been trying to tell their children this at home and then they came to service and they heard the same thing. It was like, yes, this shouldn't be some new truth or something that's different. This is the same truth that our children should be hearing at home, and if they're not getting it, sometimes hearing it from their Sunday school teacher, hearing it from the pastor, hearing it from the evangelist, It reinforces, and this is the reason why we need to come together. It's the other reason we need to be careful about placing ourselves under contrary influences. When you start getting too close to people that are drawing you through this continual negativity about that pattern of good works, when you get around people that are always criticizing God's people and always tearing down a standard of holiness, it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact, and you need to look further down the road than just the immediate pleasure of the fellowship that you may feel like you have. So this is why the scripture talks to us about being very careful about who we fellowship with. So, who are you after, Paul or Apollos? Well, Paul ended up saying, who's Paul? You know, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just laborers for the Lord. Who are we supposed to be following? Christ. That's why Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. But the glory doesn't go to Paul. And this sword cuts both ways because there are some people, again, that go so far the other way. Now, take the example of Paul, but the glory goes to Christ. We're followers of Jesus. Well, there are some people, they give so much allegiance to the Pauls in their life that they fail to get a real close relationship with the Lord and seek after the answers from God Himself. Why don't you do that? Well, Paul doesn't do it. Oh, why don't you go there? Paul doesn't go there. Why do you dress that way? Paul doesn't dress that way. Why do you do that? Paul does that. I'm going to get tired of hearing about Paul real fast unless, and I'm not going to develop a relationship with God. I want to look at Paul and see how he's living and see how God has blessed his life. Come back to the Word and search it out and say, is this what the Bible says? Oh, it is. And I'm seeing it lived out in front of me. And I see that he's following Christ. And now when someone comes and says, why do you do that? It's because the Bible teaches it and because I'm wanting to follow Jesus like he taught us to. And I'm protecting and I'm wanting to enter into a closer relationship with God. So if we begin to find our allegiance is to a group or to a minister, now loyalty's good. But when we begin to find it takes the place of our seeking God for ourselves and having a personal relationship, it means we've gone too far the other way. So you see where there's this balance? There's this balance here and a carefulness, because the other thing that it's important for us to be aware of are our family members. Some people's allegiance is to their family. It's amazing to me, and some people's allegiance is to their race. It's to their family. I've seen it with race. I've seen it with family. I've seen it with... It doesn't matter what the Bible says. If it affects my race, then this needs to be done. It's like the Bible says to forgive. It doesn't matter what happened 100 years ago. It does matter. It does affect us. Again, we're products of our environment. But when the Bible says forgive, it doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter how you've been persecuted. It doesn't matter. The Bible says humble yourself. It says to forgive, that we can reach forward to something better. You see, the Word of God trumps race. The Word of God trumps family. People say, well, my boy, and I've seen people's allegiance to their children. And pretty soon their children are deviating from truth and they hear this dripping faucet of criticism so much that they start to be sympathetic to their family. And it's like, wait, what about truth? Well, but my family, no, truth should trump family. And you know, I told Ashley, I think it was Zachary the other day, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I can see where parents can be affected by their children. I said, I have seen people that one time had a good walk with God and their children got grown and they began to deviate from truth, and they talked it and they talked it and they talked it until I saw people that had a good experience with God begin to deviate. It's like, how'd that happen? It was because they loved their children and they allowed themselves to be influenced by this continual dripping. So I think it's good for us sometimes to stop and say, where is my allegiance? I'm thankful for the body of Christ. But you know what? Our allegiance needs to be to Christ Himself. And I don't want my family, and I think my children know this, they're not going to have me excuse anything. If there's something wrong or if there's something, they're not going to find Dad standing up. I'm going to be there to back them and support them, help raise them up, but they're never going to find me excusing wrong that's in their life. Because the moment I do that, guess what? I've opened the door to not only me, but to my younger children, to those that are watching me, and I've had an influence when I won't stand for what's true. So that's why it's very important to, where is our allegiance? Is it to our family? Is it to our race? Is it to our heritage? Is it to, as a body? Do you know that there have been congregations that have deviated from truth, and we're so compact. We're so much together that slowly the congregation slides and becomes more like the world and lets truth go, and they fail to follow Christ. So we've got to remember, Paul said, follow me, imitate me, but only in as much as I'm following Christ. Is that clear? There's a balance here the Lord really wants us to get hold of. And I will say, I am very thankful for the wonderful examples that have been in my life. It's important for us. We want to honor and respect those that have gone before us. We want to honor those examples. And again, I'm going to reiterate it, young people, don't be quick to minimize the careful example of those that are older than you. Don't think that, well, I'm 13 years old, or I'm 15, or I'm 18, or I'm 20. Don't think that you've got it all figured out better than those that have gone before you. When I see God has blessed in something for a long time, I'm in a pretty dangerous place when I say, I think I got it figured out a little better, and I'm just quick to say, I don't think it matters. There is a place to say, you know what, I don't see it right now. I don't understand it right now, but following the Lord's important to me. And if I saw Paul and Peter and I saw these folks doing, I saw God really bless in their life, then you know what, I'm going to follow that example, and I'm going to keep praying for God to reveal to me. And when we do that, it'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. And in time, the Lord will be faithful to reveal Himself to us. Those that have been a real example to me, my mentors, I could list three of them out. I think I will. Brother Austis Wilson was one. He was my pastor till I was about 16. Brother Chuck Elwell was another, and Brother Clifford Wilson. They're all gone now. Those were the ones, aside from my parents, but those were my spiritual mentors, and those were the ones that I looked to. Do you know they were all human? And if I wanted to tear them down, I could tell you probably things. I could tell you weaknesses in all of their lives. But that in no way undermines the impact and the influence that I was able to see them setting an example for me to follow. It didn't mean they did everything just right. Some of their greatest strengths I saw at times were some of their greatest weakness. Isn't that the way it is for all of us? And so it doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We're all human. But to see the godly desire, Brother Austis was someone that was deep in doctrine and wise, and that influenced me. That influenced me. Brother Chuck was someone that was so full of love and just when others would be critical and judgmental, you would see him loving and trying to encourage people to love. That was an example of Christ to me. Brother Clifford Wilson was his humility. Those were just key traits that I look at each one of them and it represented something different. I hope all of us and trust all of us have people in our lives that this trait here, the sacrifice and the devotion and different attributes that we can see Christ and say, I want to imitate that. I want to follow that example. And I appreciate so much those examples. So wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. See, that's the beginning and the end. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. So while we have those examples, we've been influenced by them, I'm thankful for them. The end result and the end is, Lord, I want to get closer to Christ. So I want to keep my eyes. One other challenge before we conclude today. And I know I mentioned it, I think, last Sunday. The Lord needs more people that can say, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, living on that sea of glass. That sea of glass in transparency, that we can set godly examples for our children in the congregation and in the body of Christ. So when Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ, I trust that. That is part of being called to follow Jesus. When he called us, it was part. He gave us people in our lives to help us see what that means. And we need to value and appreciate.